Our scripture this morning comes from John chapter 3, it's verses 22 through 30. Hear the word. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he spent some time there with them and baptized. John was also baptizing at Enon near Salim because the water was abundant there. And the people kept coming and were being baptized. John, of course, had not yet been thrown into prison. Now, a discussion about purification arose between John's disciples and a Jew. They came to John and they said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I've been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
So when I was in seventh grade, we were given a group science project. That group science project was to turn the classroom into the solar system. And so each group had a different part of the solar system that we were responsible for. So some were responsible for the stars and the galaxies, and others were responsible to make the sun. And then I've always been overzealous and overconfident in my abilities. And so my group, I forced them to choose the nine planets. Yes, kids, at the time there were nine. There were not eight. So we had extra work to do. But we chose the nine planets. And so I went to Walmart and I bought all the supplies because I had this creative idea in my mind. And I got everything together. We were supposed to meet at my parents' house, work in their garage. And so the day came when it was time for the group to get together. And only one other group member showed up. And not only that, she brought her little brother. So it was wonderful. So we're sitting there working, and instead of helping me do the science project, she's chasing her little brother around the house, and she's not fast enough to chase her little brother because somehow he got blue spray paint and spray painted the side of my parents' house.
Ooh.
So the day came on Monday, and it was time for us to present our project to the class. And we were supposed to present some facts or some findings or some research that we had done about the part of the solar system we were doing as well. Well, of course, nobody in the group shows up with the information. So I quickly jot out some notes on some memo cards and pass it around to the group. And I let them do the talking about the points and all that I'd written. And I show the planets. And we made an A on the project, which is incredible. I made an A on the project. But so did they. They made the same A that I made, and they had put in. I had prepared the way. I had made sure that everything was ready to go. And all they did is they showed up and looked the part. Right? Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Have you ever been? Maybe your boss gives you a project to do. They want something done. They want some research done. They want a presentation put together. So the day comes and you show up to present it to the board. And so your boss takes it from you and presents it to the board. And then he gets the raise and he gets the pat on the back. And you're just sitting there just going, yeah, I get paid for this, right? Or maybe for a sports team or a band or something that you're in. You know, sports team, a lot of our students do that. And they take private lessons over the summer or during the off season. They show up early to school and do workouts. And all summer long, they're showing up and doing workouts. And they're, man, they're A+. And then they're so good, maybe you're so good, that you lead the team to victory. And you win the state championship. And you get that state championship ring. But guess who else gets the ring? The guy that's been sitting on the bench all summer, and all season long, and he didn't show up for half the workouts, and he's not been taking private lessons, right? So he gets the ring just like you did. So I think that's where John's disciples were in our scripture today. John was older than Jesus. He had been in ministry longer than Jesus. He had been preaching. He had followers. John even had his own disciples. And then all of a sudden, one day, this guy Jesus shows up on the scene, and John baptizes him. And then just a few days later, the guy Jesus is downstream baptizing people, and he's got his own disciples he's recruited, and he's starting to get followers. As a matter of fact, some of John's followers are kind of sneaking off to hear what this Jesus guy's got to say, right? And so John's disciples are like, John, look, like, baptism, that's your thing. Like, your name's John the Baptist. Like, you're supposed to be baptizing people, right? What's this Jesus dude doing? And in my mind, if I'm thinking about how this might look in modern times, I think it might look a little something like this.
Get your gift wrapping right over here. All proceeds go to putting an ice skating rink in our senior center. Now let's drum up some business here. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing all the plains blue. Your gift wrap will pay for old people to ice skate.
That platinum chain with them diamonds in it. Make a big one for that Benz with them windows tinted. What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Yo, the Tumble Tech bag!
My turf, okay? So, yo, you two need to scoot your packages.
So the disciples, John's disciples, they were upset. They thought that people were moving in on John's turf. And what John said, though, is, look, you guys have not been getting it. You don't understand. The entire time, I've been telling you, I'm preparing the way for somebody else. I'm telling you that Messiah is coming, and now he's here. And so now that Jesus is here, my joy is complete. My job is complete. I've done exactly what I've been called to do, and now it's his turn. And so the whole time I've been pointing you to Jesus. I've been telling you, go to Jesus. And so you stop, like what are you still doing here? Go and follow Jesus. Because now it's time for him to become greater and for me to become less. And so today is Senior Recognition Sunday. So I want to speak specifically to the seniors for a minute. For the last 936 weeks approximately, seniors, this church, the body of Christ, has been preparing you for this moment and this time. We have been loving you, we have been teaching you, we have been praying for you, we have been there for you, we have been mentoring you, we have been preparing you for what's next, all in hopes of pointing you towards Jesus. So I want to do this for a second. If you have ever taught Sunday school, either in the children's or youth program for these seniors, you have been a youth counselor or small group leader for these seniors, you've been on a mission trip with these seniors, a youth retreat for these seniors, you've served with Vacation Bible School or Discovery for these seniors, you've parented, grandparent, aunted, or uncled for these seniors, or you have pastored or youth pastored for these seniors, I want you to stand up for just a second. Seniors, look around. These are your people. These are the people that for the last 18 years have been pointing you towards Jesus. You may be seated. And those that didn't stand up have been praying for you and coming to church with you, and they've also been preparing you for this time. And our goal hasn't been, look at us, we want to be the greatest thing in your life. We want to be the top priority for you. We've been saying, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. And so over the next few weeks, the next few months, you're going to experience something new. You're going to experience college. You're going to experience the workforce. You're going to be going, and these things are going to start taking priority in your life. And that's okay. That's what's supposed to happen. You're going to start seeing your church family less and less. Not that we're praying for you any less. Not that we support you any less. Not that we love you any less. We do. But these things are going to start becoming greater. But our goal, and what I hope that we have taught you in this time with you, is that it doesn't matter what's out there. It doesn't matter what your goals or your career opportunities are. Jesus has to be the greatest thing in your life. Go and follow Him.
Amen.
So what does that mean for the rest of us that are here today that are not graduating high school this week? This is what I think that I hope that we take away from this today. Worship on Sunday is here for one thing and one thing only, and it's to point us to Jesus. Yeah. So every Sunday, every Tuesday morning, we have worship planning. The staff that puts together the worship services, we get together and we talk about what went right, what went wrong, and how can we do better in the future. We talk about upcoming sermons, upcoming sermon series, that kind of stuff. And the questions that we ask in that meeting are not this. We do not ask, what can we do this week in worship to get people to like the staff more? And we do not ask, what can we do in our next sermon series to get people to like our church more? The questions that we ask in those worship planning meetings is, what can we do in worship this week that will point people to Jesus? What can we do in our next sermon series this summer that will help people to experience Jesus in a way they've not experienced Him before? Those are the questions that we ask. And so, you see, the purpose of gathering together week after week is not so that you can get your spiritual fix, or not so that you can get your weekly therapy session. That's not what this is about. We gather week after week to point you to Jesus, because we know that life is hard. And we know that there are 1,000 voices pulling you in 1,000,000 different directions. There's a to-do list that's 1 mile long that is trying to destroy your family time. There's 1,000,000 things that are coming against you to take your focus off everything, take your focus off the one who holds everything together, the one who has all the answers, and the one that has the perfect plan for your life. And so our goal is to simply point you towards Jesus. And so we say, go follow Him. On Monday, when times get tough, when you have a flat tire on the parking lot called 65, remember Jesus. And on Wednesday, when you feel like a failure because your boss has taken all the accolades and not given them to you, remember Jesus. And on Thursday afternoon, when you get bad news, remember Jesus is there to comfort you and to heal you. All of this is not about saying, hey, I'm over here. Instead, we are saying to you, hey, Jesus is right there. Go and follow Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.